subject that God is still the God of the breakthrough. God is the God of the breakthrough. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, God, over this word. Your word is anointed, and I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to preach your word. I don't take this lightly. I pray, Father, anoint this vessel, Lord, to preach, God, to communicate in a way to where we can understand and apply it to our life. I pray, God, for our church, Lord, that we would experience breakthrough and that we would walk in that breakthrough anointing, God. I pray that this word today would pierce our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. We all shout, amen. Yeah, on the way to church, you know, I was talking to Pastor Jen just about being stuck. And sometimes we get into this place where we're stuck and we get into this rut. And we find ourselves just kind of buried in this place. And almost, we almost just accept the fact that we're there. Sometimes we just accept it, that this is just my life. This is just the way it is. And I'm just going to stay here. And I'm just going to go ahead and just be here and just stay stuck. And look at somebody say, I ain't got no time to be stuck. I have no time. I cannot stay stuck in this place. And I want to talk to you about a man in the Bible that was stuck for many years. In fact, he was stuck for about 20 years of his life. His name is Jacob. Jacob had a moment of his life where he actually, if you know the story, I'll just give you a little backstory about who Jacob is. In fact, from the very time of birth, as they were coming out, Jacob grabbed a hold of Esau's heel. Does anybody know that story? And so even at birth, there was always a struggle between the two brothers. And so I'm thankful that Jacob and Joshua, my two brothers, never struggle. Can you shout amen, right? Come on. And so Jacob, there was always a struggle there between him and his twin brother, Esau. And so Esau was a wild man. He had a hairy dude. And so one day, he was about to get the blessing from Isaac. Everybody know the story, right? And so Isaac was the father of Jacob and Esau. And so Isaac was old, and he was about to give out the blessing. Now, keep in mind that he wasn't going to give them, you know, a piece of jewelry. He wasn't giving them like a family heirloom or something like that. He was going to speak something out over top of his son, Esau. That gives a great point to be careful about how you talk. How many know there's life and death in the power of your tongue? And so Esau was about to receive a blessing from Isaac. He was about to receive a word blessing over top of his life. And so he says, son, go out, get me some lunch, and when you come back, I'm going to bless you. Well, in the meantime, you know, Jacob's mama heard this, and she conspired a plan. I'm just kind of going through the story because I don't want to stay here in this story. That's a whole nother message by itself. And so they devised a plan. Jacob comes in, and if you know the story, he put some animal skin on his arms, disguised himself to be Esau. And so he comes in and he comes in with the food, and he tricks his father and thinking that it was really Esau. And so Isaac said, wait a minute, you sound like Jacob. Let me hear you. Let me come closer to me. And he comes closer to him. You got to keep in mind, Isaac was old. His eyesight was bad. And he couldn't see who it was in front of him. And so he felt his arm, and he says, you feel like Esau, but you sound like Jacob. And so he says, okay. So he pronounced a blessing over him. Jacob walks out of the house with the blessing. I just want to kind of give you this story because I want you to understand why Jacob was in this place. Jacob leaves, tricked his father into thinking that he was Esau, gets the blessing. Moments later, Esau walks in with the food. Bless me, Father. At this moment, Isaac begins to kind of get a little nervous, say, wait a minute, Esau, didn't I just bless you? Didn't you just come in? By this time, Esau started to put it all together. He says, wait a minute, Jacob, he's the one. Because when he thinks back, he had a flashback just in a moment. One day he came in from hunting, right? And he was tired, he was hungry, and Jacob was eating a pork chop stew, the Bible said. He was eating stew. And so he was eating some stew, and he comes in, he's like, man, give me a cup of that. I'll give you my what? Birthright for that cup. You remember that? And so in that moment there, Esau, the blessing got taken from him. And he was like, dude, ain't there something else that you can give me? And Isaac was like, I done gave the blessing to Jacob. Years now pass. This moment stood with Jacob for many years. In fact, for 20 years, there was this feud between these two brothers. Why? Because of what happened there with Jacob. So one day, I'm in Genesis chapter 32. And I just paraphrase the story just so you can understand how we got here. And so here now, Jacob hears that Esau is coming to meet him. He's scared, right? He hears that Jacob's coming to get him. And so what does Jacob do? He sends out some gifts. Figure that will maybe smooth things over. Maybe that will go ahead and make things a little bit better for his brother. A little bit later, the gifts come back with Jacob's men. He's like, dude, your brother Esau's coming, and he's going to kill you. No, he didn't say he's going to kill you, but he's coming, and he's coming with an army. At this moment here, Jacob was scared for his life and didn't know what to do. And so now, in this moment here, Jacob was stuck for 20 years. He had this feud going on in his family for a long time. There are some of you here today. Maybe you feel like maybe your family is the same way. Maybe you feel like there's dysfunction. There's something not right. Your family is stuck. And God is saying today, God, something different can happen. If we choose to do something different today, something different, I believe, can happen in your home. Can somebody shout amen to that? And so here is Jacob. And he's like, I've got to have an answer. Something different has to happen in this moment. God, I really need to hear you. And you may be here today. You may be feeling the same way, that you're in a real crossroads, a real moment where you're like, God, I need to get out of this moment. I need to get unstuck. Look at somebody say, I got to get unstuck. I don't know if that's a word or not, but we allow to say it in church sometimes. I got to get unstuck. Somebody shout, unstuck. Unstuck me, God. I don't know if that's real language or not, but I want to get unstuck today. Somebody shout, get unstuck. Hit your neighbor and say, get unstuck. All right. So let's go. I want to read Genesis chapter 32, verse 22. And he arose that night, and he took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of the Jabbok. Sounds like the Brady Bunch, all right? Crossed over the ford of the Jabbok. He took them, sent over the brook, and he sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone. Somebody shout, left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled him. And he said, let me go for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. How many has heard this story before? And so here is Jacob. Jacob, in this moment, had to make a point that he said, he had to make up in his mind to say, I got to get an answer from God. I need to go after the Lord. And keep in mind, he said, and he arose that night, took his wives, he took his female servants, and his 11 sons, and he crossed over the ford of the Jabbok. I want you to think about this for a minute. The ford was not a vehicle. The ford was a passageway. It was a passageway to where he had to go. The word Jabbok, everybody shout Jabbok. Jabbok was, in Hebrew, literally means to be emptied or surrender. And so here in this moment, Jacob was left alone and surrendering to God. Jabbok was a place of surrender. It was a place of getting free. For many years, Jacob maybe was religious. For many years, Jacob, he knew what God looked like in altars. He knew what worship was supposed to look like. But there was still something inside of him that struggled. There was still something missing inside of Jacob's heart. Religious activities wasn't working anymore. Can I say this? Religious activities doesn't replace relationship with God. Now, I don't want you to get me wrong, because religious activities are important, but we can't depend on religious activities to think that if I do religious stuff, then I'll have relationship with God. How many know a man and wife can live in the same house and be married on paper, but not have relationships? You know, they could just be roommates. They could just, you know, live in separate parts of the house. It doesn't mean that they actually have any type of relationship just because they're married. We can come to church. We can even serve on worship teams and then serve within the church, but it doesn't always equal relationship. And so Jacob was stuck. He sent off burnt offerings. He did prayers, and he did these things, and he probably read. I'm sure he read the Old Testament. I'm sure he read the Pentateuch, the first five books. Well, actually, you know, and at that moment, it wasn't written because it was in Genesis. So he knew Scripture. He knew who God was. He was raised in godly house, in a house, but yet there was something inside of Jacob that there was something missing. Maybe you're here today, and you feel the same way. Maybe you feel, you know, you're not involved in any sin. You're not in, you know, you're not doing anything bad, but you just feel stuck. You feel away from God. You don't feel like you have relationships. Somebody shout amen if you know what I'm talking about. And as godly as he seemed, there was still an inward part of him that wasn't free. There are many people like that even in the church today that do religious activities, but yet not free. There are many here today that struggle with unforgiveness or offense or hurt or pride, jealousy, envy, selfishness, addiction, fear, pain, depression. Don't want to talk about these things. We just want to go ahead and just sweep them under the rug. Jacob was in the same situation. He was tired of being bound by fear. He was tired of being bound by the sin that haunted him from his past. The dysfunction that was in his family. He wanted to get free. He was stuck in this rut, and he needed to get out of this place. We've all come to this place. We all have a place of a jabbok. We all have this place where we have to come to get emptied of us. Think about Jesus. Jesus had a moment where he was in Gethsemane. The word Gethsemane literally means olive press. And so Jesus, just days before his crucifixion, he came to this place called Gethsemane, and he prayed there. And in fact, he also was alone. He was alone in this moment. Can I say this? That sometimes when we go through a time of emptying, it's a lonely place. Jacob was alone when he crossed over the Jabbok. Jesus was alone. He even asked his three closest dudes that was close to him. Anybody know the three closest dudes close to Jesus? Who are they? Peter, Paul, and Mary. Peter, James, and John. And so Peter, James, and John, even those guys forsook him. Why? Because they were sleepy. The flesh overtook them. And here he is by himself in a place of crushing, in a place of emptying. Can I say something? That when we go through a time of crushing, and I know many of us in here, you've gone through different times where you felt emptied and going after. Everybody is not going to go through that with you. There are times when we go through this emptying, it's by yourself. It's a lonely place. Jabbok is not a place where I'm rejoicing. Jabbok is a place of emptying. It's a place of getting free. Are you still with me? Somebody shout, I'm still with you. So Jacob, he was by himself. He sent over everything he had. It was a time of separation. It was a time of where he began to consecrate and sanctify. And so Jacob begins to fight for his breakthrough. Now watch this. So he begins to wrestle with a man. He was alone with a man. Look at verse 24. Chapter 32, verse 24. Then Jacob was left alone and a man. What is significant about this moment? What is significant about the word man? Look at it. It's capital M. So this was God. This was the Lord. Because anytime something is capitalized like that, that means it's God. And it says, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Until the breaking of day. And he said, I won't let you go until you bless me. You know what the amazing thing is? Watch this. Many of us in the room, or maybe watching, all one of you watching online, look at it this way. Sometimes you're trying to rebuke the devil, but it's really God you're fighting the whole time. Sometimes that the fight that we're in and the struggle that we're in is not always with the enemy. Sometimes we give the enemy too much credit. We give him too much clout saying, I'm rebuking the devil, but God's like, the devil ain't got nothing to do with this. It's me and you, dog. It's me and you. And the whole time, what's happening is that we're fighting with God, and God is trying to say, listen, it can't be your way. It's time to submit. It's time to surrender. And so all of us in this room, we have moments in our life where we're fighting with God because God is wanting the parts of our life that we don't want to give up. You see, it's real easy to give up the parts that we want to. It's easier to give up the parts that are convenient. But there's nothing convenient when it comes down to commitment to God. I want to say that again. There's nothing convenient when it comes down to commitment to God. It's in these times where we have to make up on our mind and say, you know what? I'm tired of being in this place. And that's what was going on with Jacob. Jacob could have easily left. He could have easily avoided the situation. Can I say this? That whatever we refuse to confront, it will continue to conquer us in our life. We'll never conquer that thing that we refuse to confront. And so Jacob said, I've ran long enough. I've left long enough. I've ignored this thing long enough. Just because we ignore a thing doesn't mean it's just going to go away. We're real good at that, ain't we? We're real good at just ignoring things. We're real good at saying, it'll just get better. My marriage will just get better. You know, I'll just get, I'm terrible when it comes down to going to a doctor. So I hate going to a doctor. You know, I'll get better. It's like I'm getting worse. And sometimes we have to admit the fact that where we're at and say, you know what? I'm in a place where I need to get rid of some things. And spiritually, the only way that we're going to grow spiritually is if we come to grips with the fact that, you know what? I'm holding on to unforgiveness. I'm holding on to fear. I'm holding on to depression. And I'm holding on to this addiction. I'm holding on to these things. And you know what happens? We almost feel entitled to feel this way. Well, God didn't answer my prayer the way I wanted it, so I feel entitled to feel this way. My spouse, my wife don't treat me right, or my husband don't treat me right, or my kids act this way. So I feel entitled to, I have this entitlement. And that's what has happened to the body of Christ, and the reason why we're not experiencing any power when we pray, and the reason why we're not experiencing the presence of God like we used to is why? Because we're walking around with entitlement. We're stuck thinking that it's okay where we're at. As long as I keep going to church, maybe I put a little dollar in the offering and, you know, I pray my little prayer and I go through my little religious activities and we think we're okay. But one day we could wake up and we can find ourselves away from God. Wouldn't that be terrible if we went through religious activities all of our life and we end up, when we go into eternity, we end up in hell. Why? Because we held on to unforgiveness. Because we held on to this fear. We held on to unbelief all of our life. Don't go to hell sitting on a church chair. God is asking us today, would you do something different? We're at a place where it's time to get empty of us so we can go after God. Are you still with me? Yes, I know that there's spiritual warfare, but sometimes we're not fighting against the enemy. And I believe that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and different forces of wickedness, unseen realm. We do, absolutely. But I believe that there are many people right now under the sound of my voice that is having a fight with God because God is wanting more and you're not one, and we don't want to give it all. And we're fighting. And too often we give up right on the verge of our breakthrough, but giving up is not an option. Look at somebody say, giving up is not an option. I cannot give up. Jacob was tired of his current situation and he needed a breakthrough. If you're sick and tired of what's going on in your family, if you're sick and tired of the way you feel spiritually, then God is saying, do something about it. Change. Make a point to do something about it. You know, I watch a lot of I don't know if you know this or not, but I've been messing around with the stock market, and the stock market has taught me something about disruption. You see, when something new comes in, it disrupts normal. It disrupts what we're used to, and all of a sudden, when something disrupts your normal way of doing things, we think it's wrong. But you see, that's what's so important. That's what's so important about this moment is that we have been doing the same thing over and over again every day, going through the motions of just waking up and being used to not doing life with God. But then when disruption comes along, it begins to bring us into a different place. And so God is saying, allow me to come back in to disrupt your schedule, to disrupt your life. There are many in this room that have gotten used to not serving, have gotten used to not being involved and doing the work of the Lord. God is saying, it's time to disrupt your comfort level. It's time to get uncomfortable again. It's time to go ahead and step out and begin to serve again. Candy's the only one happy about this preaching today. Come on. God wants to disrupt my life. And we got to be okay with that and get desperate for God. It's the desperate ones. It's the ones that allow God to disrupt them that will experience the fullness of God. Jake, come here. Help me close this thing. All right. Jacob's wrestling with God. I'm going to close. Jacob's wrestling with God. And he says, God's saying, let me go, for the day is about to break. And Jacob says something I love. He says, I won't let you go until you bless me. And what Jacob was saying was, I'm not going to let you go until I get my breakthrough. I'm not going to let you go until I get an answer. I'm not going to let you go until I hear you again. I'm not going to let you go until my family is healed. I'm not going to let you go until my marriage is healed. I'm not going to let you go, God, until I hear you again, begin to see you again. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. He was relentless in his prayer. There are many times where we give up too soon because it's too hard. The struggle's too hard. And we're in this place and we're alone. Believe me, I know what it feels to be. I know what it feels like to be lonesome. Maybe you feel like you're the only one trying to serve the Lord. I know what it feels like in these moments. Feel like you're by yourself. I know what it feels like to be in a room of 100 people and still feel alone. Jacob, for many years, felt this way. He was stuck. He's like, God, I got to get out of this thing. I'm not going to let you go. God, I'm not going to let you go until you remove this curse from my life. Because God said this to Jacob. He says, what is your name, Jacob? He said, what is your name? God knew who he was wrestling with. Listen to this for a minute, please. God knew who he was wrestling with. And I can almost see Jacob in this moment. Tell me who you are. He says, Jacob. Puts his head down. He was almost ashamed to say this was his name. Why? Because it represented his past. What God was asking him is, who do people call you? What do you know yourself as? And Jacob, all he knew himself as was the guy who tricked his brother. And the guy who stole the blessing from his brother, and the guy who tricked his father. And for years, this tattooed his life that this was who he was. Isn't that what happens sometimes in our lives? It's just who I am. It's just my last name. It's just who we are. It's just my father was the same way. And God is saying, it's time now. God wants to lift that curse. And that's what Jacob was like. He's like, God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Lift this curse from my past over my life. Because it just overshadows every thought. It overshadows everything that I do. Come on, is this helping anybody? And he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. He said, what do people call you? He said, Jacob. He said, you shall no longer be called Jacob. Watch this. Don't change your name, son. I love your name, Jake. He says, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but now you should be called Israel. And I love this because God saw greatness inside of Jacob. God sees greatness inside of you, Jake. God sees greatness inside of every person in here. Because when God saw Jacob, he didn't see just one person. He saw a nation. Are you hearing this? When God sees you, he sees you. He sees of what's inside of you, of what's to come. You see, we're too stuck at where we're at. We're so nearsighted that all we can see is right now, what's happening right now. God sees our future. You see, when God called Abram and said, you're going to be a father of many nations, he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. He's like, God, how can I be a father of many nations? I'm not even a father of one yet. But when God sees you, he sees you as what you can be, not where you're at. He sees you as what you can be. He sees potential inside of you. He sees greatness inside of us. He sees gold inside of us. And that's what God is saying today. When he just says, call you as Eli, he calls you great. He calls you, there's talent, there's giftings, there's an anointing in your life that God is not done with you yet. He calls you of what you can be. He calls you of what he sees in you. He sees you, Adam, as something. He sees you as called. He sees you as delivered. He sees you as healed. But we come too focused of, I'm just Jacob. I'm just a loser. I'm nobody. I'm broke. I'm always in the same place. I'm always in this rut. I don't know how to get myself out of this thing. And God is saying, listen, God calls you great. There's something great inside of you still. And then when God in this moment see that he couldn't prevail against Jacob, he touched him. You know what happens? When we find ourselves wrestling with God, he touches you. And then when he touches you, and you're never the same again. Because when he touched him on his hip, it said his hip socket shrank. And from that moment, he limped on his hip. He had a limp. You see, when you have an encounter with God, our lives are changed forever. When you and I, when we have a genuine moment, an encounter with the presence of God, we're changed forever when we allow him to touch our lives. Even right now, there are some of you that's wrestling with the call of God. You're wrestling with commitment. You're wrestling with prayer. And you're wrestling with God. And God is saying, listen, if you just allow me to touch you one time, your life will change forever. Your marriage will change forever. The course, your faith. Come on, if I'm preaching to anybody right now, I'm preaching to me. God, touch me one more time. Come on, who needs a fresh touch from God right now? God, I need a fresh touch from heaven. God, touch my hip. I want to walk different. Because you see, when he got up from this moment, he called the place Peniel, which literally means the face of God, face to face. He saw God face to face. He was in the presence of God. And see, when we have a moment in the presence of God, our lives is changed forever. That's why I had everybody draw near this morning. I said, listen, you got to get out of this rut. You got to get out of your chair. You got to get out of this place. You got to get out of this thing that we're in. And then now he's going to meet his brother. He hasn't seen him in 20 years. And I can almost see Jacob, he's walking, and he's got this limp. And Esau is walking toward him. And Esau is looking, he's like, is that my brother? It looks like him, but he's walking different. There's something different about him. And Jacob would bow to the ground every so feet. And he would bow and get back up and bow. And by the time they came together, they collapsed on each other and they hugged and they cried. You see, there was something different about Jacob. He was emptied of the old. He had an encounter with God and it changed his life forever. There was something different about his walk. If we allow ourselves to get empty this morning, Adam, if we allow ourselves to get empty, and say, God, would you come in? Would you touch my life? Your life will change forever, Eli. It will change. You don't have to walk in the past. You're not stuck in the past any longer. Yes, I know what happened. I know maybe you experienced pain. Yes, I understand you made a mistake. I understand the disappointment. I understand. But you know what God can do? God can change everything if you allow Him to touch your life. One more touch, God. It was like last week when Elijah was running for his life and he got up and he ate and he fell back asleep and God came and touched him again a second time. That's what God wants to do. He wants to touch your life. He wants to be all up in our lives. He wants to be in our business again. Please stop putting God in a box. I'm calling the church to a time of repentance this morning. God is calling the house of God. God is calling the body of Christ to a place of repentance. Every person, come on, let's come around the altars. Come in the aisles. You can stay in the aisles if you want. It's fine. Come on, let's pray. Come on. You stay in the aisles. Stay in your seat. Let's make an altar. Come to the close. Let's spread out. We got plenty of space. Thank you, Lord. God's going to move. God's going to touch you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, have your way in me again. God, have your way in me again. Come on, every person right now, place your hand over your heart. Place your hand on yourself somewhere. God, empty me of me. Empty me of me, God. Empty me of pride. Empty me of pride. Empty me of me. Empty me of unforgiveness. Empty me of everything that's not like you, God. Empty me of me. Come on, every person right now. Come on, empty me. Empty me, God. Empty me, Lord. In the name of Jesus, empty me. Empty me. In Jesus' name. Come on, empty me, God. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. We serve the God of the breakthrough. We serve the God of the breakthrough. In the name of Jesus. Come on, it's time to get real with God. It's time to get real with God. The time of playing church, you go through the motions, is over. Come on, teenager. Come on, mom. Come on, dad. Come on, every person. In the name of Jesus, come on, begin to talk to God. You anoint my head with oil. Anoint my head with oil, God. Fresh oil. Fresh oil in this room. Come on. Fresh oil, the oil of God, the oil of